So, we're going to start looking at a three-week series entitled Generous Living. So I'm going to be preaching on this week, next week, then we're having a week off because I'm away. We're not having a week off. Church will still be on. Joanne's going to preach. And then I'm going to come back and finish the series the week after. But we're going to be looking at this idea of generous living. And the kind of overarching series passage, if you like, is taken from Proverbs 11, verses 24 and 25. And I'm going to read it from the Message translation, paraphrase. So Proverbs 11, it says this: "The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped." I'll just read that again. "The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped." So we're going to spend the next few weeks just talking around this idea of generous living. And often the first thing that comes to mind when we talk about generosity is finance. But it's not just about this. It's not just about finance. But obviously that's part of it. But you know, within this proverb, within this scripture, we have something that can help to define our lives here on earth. So when we talk about the world of the generous, we're not talking about the world as a globe, the physical world. We're talking about your world, your kind of sphere of influence, the people that you interact with, the people that you engage with on a day-to-day basis. So your world might be school, or it might be college, or it might be work. It might be the parents and grandparents you interact with at toddler group. It might be the friends that you go and have coffee with. Whatever it is, your world, I'm sure, looks completely different to my world. But we each have this sphere of influence, this context in which we live in. And as we begin to live a generous life, we're going to see how that can help us to enlarge our worlds. It can help us to enlarge our worlds and to be blessed by God as we have this generous spirit. Now, generosity isn't something that you're born with. You know, we're born into sin. We're born into bondage and slavery because of the fall right at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. But we have this sinful nature inside of us. We have this self-centered nature. So generosity isn't something that comes naturally to us. Instead, it's more of a spirit or an attitude that's within us. In fact, it's maybe more than that. We need to be intentional about being generous. It's almost a posture that we need to assume as we enter our daily lives. We need to choose to put on generosity and to live generosity. You know, it's something that you actually need to go out of your way to do. You see, you can't be a generous person without doing. You can't be a generous person without doing. You know, I could stand here this morning and tell you that I am a very generous person, but you won't really know if that's true or not unless you've been on the receiving end of my generosity, because you need to see it and experience it for yourself. Only if my generosity has had an impact on you will you know if that's true or not. So if we want to expand our world, if we want to grow and develop our world, if we want to see something happen in our context, if we want to be blessed abundantly, then we need to live a generous life. We need to live a generous life. You know, it's one of our seven core values here at Hope, generosity. It's something that we felt important enough to stick a stake in the ground and say, we're going to live generously. We're going to be known for generosity. The people of Hope Church Lytham are going to be known for living generous lives. And I think that's a fantastic value to hold on to. I think it's a great value to live by, generosity. You know, we live in a world that's stingy. We live in a world that's self-centered. We live in a world where people are just out to get whatever it is that they can get for themselves. That's what we're told by the media, and that's kind of the culture that people are living under at the minute. But in the reality, it's not about what we can get. It's not about what we can get, it's about what we can give. You know, when we come to church on a Sunday, what kind of attitude do we walk through those doors with? Do we come with an attitude of, what can I give this morning? Or do we come with an attitude of, what is it that I'm going to get out of this service? And are we here to give, or are we here to receive? You know, you hear people say, oh, I didn't really get anything out of that time of worship. I didn't really get anything out of that. Or that word wasn't quite deep enough for me this morning. But your worship experience on a Sunday isn't about the songs that we sing, and it isn't about the quality of the musicians. It's about your attitude. It's about your heart. It's about your posture as you approach worshiping your Heavenly Father. If you come with an attitude of giving all that you can give, then you're going to be blessed by God. You're going to receive in abundance because you've approached the throne with an attitude to give and not to receive. As the New Radicals sang way back in the 90s, you only get what you give. Any 90s people? No, just me. Okay, fine. I need to learn to pick my audience, don't I? We need to be people that are generous. We need to think more about what we can give than what we can get. So this morning we're going to kick off this little series of three, not by looking at finance, but by being generous with our time. And that's our title this morning, being generous with our time. So we're going to look at how that can help us to enlarge our world, how it can give us greater influence and greater blessing. John Wesley said this. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Let me read that again so we catch that. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Now, what John Wesley was saying there is live a life of generosity. He's saying we should be a generous people. He's saying that we should go out of our way at every opportunity to be generous, whatever that looks like. He's saying that we should live a life not about what we can get, but about what we can give. What can you bring and what can you give to other people to help enlarge their lives? You know, if you give your time to help other people, let me tell you, your world will become larger and larger. If you give, if you invest your time in other people, then you will receive an abundant blessing. When you spend your time actually helping other people, when you choose not to be self-centered and not to be focused on your own needs, but actually lifting up your head and saying, what is it that I can do to help others? What is it that I can bring to help enlarge other people's world? Then your world gets larger too. It sounds a bit backwards, but it's true. You know, one of the most important commodities in the Western world today is time. You know, we're not really short of finance and resource, but time. We're short of time. We're all busy people. We're rushing around from one place to the next, trying to get our to-do list done and never really seeming to get to the bottom of that list. We've got never-ending chores and never-ending meetings and so much that we need to do. We just don't have time. So when I stand here on the platform and say, we need to be a people who are generous with our time, well, that makes us kind of clench up a little bit because actually it's going to cost us something. I'm not talking about finance this morning, but it's going to cost us something because we're actually going to have to put ourselves out in order to be generous with our time. But we're busy people. We're rushing around doing whatever it is that's on our list of things to do. But the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You know, sometimes we just need to take those breaks in our agenda where we just lift the foot off the accelerator for a moment and take a bit of a break and just pause and think, what can I do to bless someone else? Let me stop focusing on my needs for a minute and just see what it is that I can do to help someone else. You know, there's that story in the Bible about the lame man who gets lowered through the roof to Jesus. You know, he needed to meet with Jesus so that he could get his healing. But he couldn't have got to Jesus if it wasn't for those four guys who were intentional about giving of their time to take him to Jesus. You know, I'm sure that this man knew of Jesus. I'm sure he knew of his healings that he'd been doing around the place. I'm sure he'd heard of the great miraculous things that he'd been doing, but he couldn't physically get to Jesus on his own. He needed the support of people around him. He needed those four guys to be intentional about going out of their way, about giving their time sacrificially to take this man to Jesus in order to receive his healing. And you know, you, each and every one of us here this morning, are people who can help take someone to Jesus. We all have people within our circle of friends, within our sphere of influence, that we can take to Jesus if we're intentional about giving of our time generously. It's so important, that power of invitation that we've been talking about on the run-up to the Festival of Hope. It's really important, not just to tell people, but actually to bring them. It's so important to bring them to church, to bring them to something like the Festival of Hope, to not just tell people the good news, but to show them, let me take you. We talked about that the other week as well. So this morning, we're just going to look at three things to help us live generously with our time. And we're going to take it this morning from a passage in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 35. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. So it's based in Luke chapter 10. Do you know, some scholars actually believe that this scenario actually happened. It wasn't just a story that Jesus was telling. They believe that because of the amount of detail that's in there, that actually this might have been a scenario that happened that Jesus is just retelling. But we don't know that for sure, but there's some great things that we can pull out of this. So we're just going to read a little bit of this passage. So starting at verse 30. It says this: Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.'" So here we have this story of this Jewish man going along the road, and then he gets jumped by some robbers. He was just going about his daily business. He was walking from wherever he was to wherever he was going, and then he gets attacked, he gets beaten, he gets thrown to the ground and left for dead. And then 3 people come by. 2 of them come by, and they look at the man and see the state he's in, and they cross the road, and they keep on walking. But then we have this third man, this Samaritan man, who was very different to the Jewish man, and he sees the Jewish man lying there in the dirt, and he could have just kept on walking by, but instead, he chose to go over and help the man in need. So my first point this morning is movement helps. Movement helps. If you're going to be generous with your time, then movement helps. In verse 34, it says, "He went to him." In the New Living Translation, it says, "Going over to him. So there was an action here. There was actually a physical act of movement from one place to the next to go and offer the support. So what happened was this Samaritan man was on his journey. He was going somewhere. He had a purpose. He had a plan. He had somewhere to be. He had something to do. I'm sure like us in our days, they had busy lives. I'm sure he had a busy schedule. He was going from somewhere to somewhere. And then he sees this man beaten and lying in the dirt. And instead of walking on by like those other two, he stops, has compassion, and goes over to the Jewish man to offer some help. You see, movement helps if we're going to be generous with our time. And the other thing is that generosity can sometimes be an inconvenience. So here we have this man, like I say, he's going on a journey, he had somewhere to be, he had something to do, and instead of pursuing that thing, whatever it was that was on his agenda that day, he left that, he forgot that, and chose to give up his time instead to help this person in need. He inconvenienced himself in order to offer support to this Jewish man. You know, life with Jesus is not plain sailing. You'll never hear from this platform anyone say, come to Jesus and all your problems will be solved. We'll never tell you that because, do you know, life can come out of nowhere and smack you in the face, and that happens to every single one of us, not just those who don't know Jesus. Do you know, life can just come and it can knock you for six out of nowhere. And we need, in that moment, we need people to inconvenience themselves, to move towards us in order to offer us the support that we need when life is causing us difficulty. And God calls us to be generous with our time so that actually we can be a help to each other, that we can support each other on this journey called life, because it's a difficult journey. Who knows life is difficult? Yeah, come on. So we need people to go out of their way to inconvenience themselves, to forget whatever plans we've got for a moment and put ourselves out a little bit to be generous with our time. You know, it might surprise you that I don't have it all together. I'm just like that. I need people to come around me. I need people to offer me support when I'm struggling. And I'm thankful that I've got people who do that. But those people need to inconvenience themselves to offer me support. They need to go out of their way. They need to act on this idea. They need to actually move in order to help me. And we all need that. We need to be understanding with each other. We need to be there for each other instead of leaving others to do it instead and passing by on the other side because we don't want to be involved in that person's mess. We need to actually move towards people. Do you know, it's easy for us to just see someone in trouble and think, oh, well, you know, I'm quite busy right now. I'm not going to deal with that because I've got my own stuff to do. I'm not going to deal with their situation. I'm not going to get involved because I've got too much to do. But God calls us to be generous with our time, to inconvenience ourselves, to go out of our way to help other people, to forget ourselves. You know, I think it was last year, I went to a concert with my brother in Manchester and we were driving home, so it will have been late at night, maybe 11:30, coming on midnight, and we were driving down the Queensway and I saw this kind of shape on the cycle path at the side of the road. And it looked like a person, but I wasn't sure because it was quite dark. And he was driving and we drove past. And I just kind of said, I think that was a person on the road, on the cycle path. So we did a U-turn and we drove back. And sure enough, there was this woman lying on the cycle path, kind of moaning in pain. And I was like, gosh, what's going on? So we kind of bumped up on the curb and got out and we're like, you know, what can we do? Can we help you? And she told us this story about how a car had hit her and then driven off. And we were like, well, what can we do? Can we call an ambulance for you? And so I was just about to call an ambulance and she was like, no, don't do that for whatever reason. And I was just about to call anyway and a police car drove up and saw what was going on, and he kind of came and took over that situation. But I suspect, even though it was late at night, that a few people had driven past this lady and seen this shape on the floor, but thought, it's late, I just want to get to bed, I just want to do my own thing, I'm just going to keep on driving by, someone else will stop. Someone else will stop and help this person in need. But it was movement that took us to do a U-turn, to go back and to see what help this woman needed. I mean, granted, we didn't stay with her for very long because the policeman came along and took over from us, but we had to be intentional about inconveniencing ourselves. I was tired. I just wanted to get to bed. My ears were ringing. I just wanted to get some water and get my head down. But we thought, no, we can't leave this person struggling for whatever reason. So movement helps. And I think it's great to look around this church, because I know full well that there are so many of us here who are already generous with our time. Already generous with our time. Recently, my mother-in-law moved into a new house. A lovely house it is too. And she needed some help doing around the house. So she knew someone within the church, and I won't tell you who, because they'll get lots and lots of questions to help them. But she knew someone, so she went and said, can you just help me with this thing? And they inconvenienced themselves to go and to help her do whatever it is that she needed doing around the house. Now, you might be there thinking, well, John, why didn't she ask you? Well, because I'm utterly useless when it comes to anything practical like that. She knew not to come and ask me, because I would only make the situation worse. But she knew who could help and went and sought that person out. And they inconvenienced themselves and helped her with the stuff that she needed doing. So if you need a shelf putting up or a picture hanging, don't come talking to me. If you need a meal cooking, I'm your man, okay? Just so we get that clear. But I'm not practical. I'm utterly useless. And then someone else in the church heard that we were starting the toddler group. There was no appeal for help. There was no standing from the front saying, we're going to need some help for our toddler group, so if you're interested, come and ask me. This person just heard we were starting a toddler group and went to Ruth and said, can I come and help? Can I come every week to toddler group and help you with whatever it is that you need? Wow, I mean, that's living generous life. That's being generous with our time. You know, so often we can see a need. We can see something that needs doing, and we can just think, oh, I'm not going to do that because such and such will do that. Such and such is good with that kind of thing. I'll let them do it. Or I'm way too busy right now, so I'm not going to do that thing that needs doing. But if we're going to be a generous people, if we're going to be generous with our time, then movement helps. There needs to be a physical action. We need to go out of our way to make things happen. We need to be intentional with our generosity. So movement helps is the first point, and the second is this: timing is everything. Timing is everything. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that things have to happen at a specific time, but that we need to invest our time in things. It's so important that we offer, that we invest, that we give of our time. Do you know, in verse 34, if we can just get that up on the screen, there's six things that happen in the space of this one verse. Six things. Number one, he went over to him. Number two, he soothed his wounds. Number three, he bandaged them up. Number four, he put him on a donkey. Number five, he took him to an inn. And then number six, he stayed with him overnight. So in this single verse, there's six actions. And the total of those actions probably covers about 12 hours of this Samaritan's time that he's investing in a complete stranger. And not just a complete stranger, but a Jew. And if you don't know, Samaritans and Jews didn't get on. They didn't speak to each other at all. But he chose to invest 12 hours or so of his time in this man because he saw that there was a need. You know, it took him more than just a cursory, oh, let me help you up, or even let me bandage your wounds and then I'm going to go on my way because you're okay. It was more than that. He went and helped him in the immediate. He dealt with his immediate needs, but then he took him somewhere where he could recuperate, where he could get better. He stayed with him. He stayed with him. And then he said that he'd return to cover any costs later on as well. You have to remember that this Samaritan man was on his own journey. He had somewhere to be. He had something to do. He had a purpose. And yet he chose, when he saw this Jewish man in need, to inconvenience himself and go and help, to give of his time, to forego his own plans, his own journey, his own purpose, to go and offer the help where it was needed. If we're going to be generous with our time, it may well inconvenience our journey, but there might be times when, you know, our plans and our purposes and our journeys just need to be forgotten about because there's other things that are more important than ourselves. And when an act of generosity interrupts our own plans and interrupts our purpose, when an act of generosity, when being generous with our time causes us this inconvenience, then let me tell you, we're going to see healing come. When we are intentional about being generous with our time, healing will come. When you prefer someone else's needs over your own, when you spend time with someone, when you invest in someone, when you prefer them over you, and maybe in a difficult time, we see healing come. And why do I believe that? Well, we see it here in this story. The Samaritan man went out of his way. He invested his time. He was generous and he gave of his time to help this Jewish man. And we see that he's able to get better. He's able to get well again. You know, if the scholars are right and this really did happen, then I believe that it wasn't just the physical needs of this Jewish man that were healed. But actually, there will have been something between this cultural divide from the Samaritans and the Jews that would have been healed. This act of generosity, this act of being generous with his time would have done something in this Jewish man's mindset that says, do you know what? Not all Samaritan men and women are like that. This idea that I've got in my head that says they're the scum of the earth isn't actually true. I've seen this act of generosity and then new relationships are formed and new opportunities are presented and new friendships are built up because of this act of generosity. So we need to stop making excuses and start being generous with our time. If we want our world to expand, if we want to see the abundant blessings of God, we need to allow ourselves to be put out. We need to allow ourselves to be inconvenienced and to be generous with our time. Now, we've been talking quite a lot over the past few weeks about the Festival of Hope. And it's great, like I said earlier, that a lot of our people here are on team. They're taking their time and choosing to invest it in this festival. Now, if I'm honest, the Festival of Hope has been an inconvenience to me. It's taken many evenings away from my family so that I can go to the training meetings and the prayer meetings. And this week alone, we were there on Thursday. I went straight from work to the Winter Gardens to get briefed and then to pray. And then Friday night, we had to get there an hour early. So again, straight from work to the Winter Gardens. To be there early, to be prepared, and stay there until after the meeting had finished. And then again, last night, and then again, this afternoon. I mean, that's a lot of time away from my family and away from your family, for those of you who are serving. But it's amazing to see that we are being inconvenienced in order to give of our time generously to this cause that is so much greater than our purpose. As we've already seen, at least 35 people, and definitely more from last night, have already given their lives to Jesus because people like you and me decided to inconvenience ourselves. We decided to go out of our way to help serve this event. I was sat next to a couple last night and the night before. They'd come all the way from Surrey just to serve at this event. No other reason than to give of their time in order to serve at this event. And that is living generously. And the third thing is this. So not only do we need to understand that movement helps and that timing is everything, but also we need to empower others. We need to empower others. There's something that happens when you begin to model something and then others begin to replicate it. When you model something and then others begin to see what you're doing and replicate it. And that's called culture. That's called culture. You know, there's things that we do in our church here that people in other churches don't do. You know, some people come into this church and they say, the music's a bit loud, or I don't like the songs that you sing, or they see people worshiping with their hands in the air, but that's the culture that we've set at this church, and I like it. There's others who like it too. Do you know, there's some people who even think that drums shouldn't be allowed in church. Can you believe that? Wow. You know, and we do silly games sometimes, and we have parties, and we have celebrations, and we give gifts. And these are all things that we do at this church that are in line with our values and begin to form our culture. And we can see that as we model this from the front, that it's being picked up by others through things like generosity and being relational and being spiritual and trying to do things as well as we possibly can. In verse 35, it says, As the Samaritan was leaving, he gave the innkeeper 2 silver coins, which was actually 2 days' earnings. And then he said these words. He said, take care of him. Take care of him. You see, I believe that when we're generous with our time, partnerships are formed. When we're generous with our time, partnerships are formed. I believe that actually, when we begin to prefer one another, and we begin to help each other, and we begin to serve each other, and we take our eyes off our own needs and begin to look above our own circumstance and our own situation and see, what is it that I can do to help other people? How can I come alongside you? Then partnerships are formed. So now in this story, it's no longer about the Samaritan and the things that he's doing and his act of generosity, but there's another guy that's on the scene. There's another guy in the picture, and he's not named, but he's now part of the story because he's been empowered by someone else to be generous. So I believe that as a church, we need to be living generously, not just with our finances, and we'll talk about that in a few weeks' time, but also with our time. Because it's more than just giving of our finance. Being generous is more than just giving out of our earnings. It's about a heart attitude. It's about who I am and who can I be to support you and what can I do to help you. It's about being generous with everything that we are. With all that we are, it's this posture that we talked about at the beginning. It's an intentionality about doing life generously. We need to decide that we're going to be somebody who helps others in need. I'm going to be ready to support somebody. I'm going to be ready to come alongside somebody. When stuff needs doing around church, we're not going to leave it to the usual suspects or assume that someone else will do it. We're going to get stuck in. We're going to inconvenience ourselves to serve the greater good because we want to expand our world, because we want to live larger lives, because we want to be a generous people. You know, when we begin to serve, when we begin to give with that kind of heart attitude, with that posture, then new friendships are formed. New opportunities are opened. New experiences are gained. And it may well inconvenience you. It may well take you out of your comfort zone. It may well take you off the plans that you've got for today or for this week or whatever it is. But when we're willing to give of our time sacrificially to just serve, then God blesses us. When we're willing to give of our time, then God blesses us. It inconvenienced this Samaritan. It inconvenienced him to go over to this Jewish man and to help him with his need. Not just to bandage him up, but to take him somewhere, to stay with him overnight. And then it says that he would return back when he returned from his journey to check that everything was okay. It inconvenienced him in his time. So I want to challenge us all this morning. Are we living generous lives? Are we willing to be a person who is generous, who is intentional about being generous and about living a generous life? Well, you might say, well, I'm already generous. Well, I'm asking you, can you go further? Is there more that you can do? Is there more that you can invest of your time to serve this house, to serve those around you, to serve your sphere of influence? Is there more that you can do? So I encourage you to keep living a generous life, to keep being there for people, to keep offering support and serving where it's needed. Be intentional about being generous with your time. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you that you're with us, and we thank you that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we can have the energy and the focus and the intentionality to serve you. I pray that you'll highlight to us the situations that need our time investing. Lord, I pray that you'll equip us so that we can invest our time wisely. And I pray that the people here this morning and the people listening on the podcast will be challenged and inspired to be more generous, to be as generous as possible, to take the example of this Samaritan man and to inconvenience ourselves, to go out of our way to help those who need helping. So Lord God, we thank you that you're with us. We thank you that you give us that power, that you equip us to do those things. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.